Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I am Avinav Kaul, and welcome to this edition of Why Not Mint Money podcast. Indian mutual funds focusing on China and Taiwan have fallen up to 30% on a yearly basis. Recently, tensions between China and Taiwan are spiking over a visit by the US House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi. China has been considered the factory of the world, and Taiwan is a major exporter of electronics products. Today, we have with us Praveen Bajpai, founder of FinFix Research Analytics, and we will talk about why these funds have fallen drastically over the past year, their outlook given the recent geopolitical tensions, and the best strategy for global diversification at this point. Let's listen in.
Hi, welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started on your money journey.
My first question is, we have seen earlier investors were looking at only the US. Now they are venturing into other markets, China, Europe, and recently Taiwan-based funds have come. Does a global diversification beyond the US make sense?
So I think the answer is theoretically, yes, it does make sense. So let's look at the investment canvas that we have. So if we exclude Indian markets, then we have a 96 to 97% of the investment canvas, which is outside it. And out of that, about 50% would be the US, because, you know, it captures about 50% of the overall global market cap. And we still have a huge segment where we have other geographies, which do obviously offer a lot of potential. So there is opportunity. There are varied industries and sectors which are offered by other countries. But I think, Abhinav, the point is that in India, we are still at a point where investing outside India is a comparatively recent concept. And not many are still doing it. I think we are in a very nascent stage where people are gradually now, trying to take, let's say, small steps and probably move to more developed geographies such as the US, some exposure. But if you look at the overall figures in terms of AUM, it would be a very minuscule part of the overall AUM that we still have as an industry. So I think moving beyond the US would only be for those people who have, been investing at least in the US markets for some time and then are now ready for the next step of investing outside India. And also, I think the idea to invest outside US depends on which fund are they currently investing in, because even a lot of US-based funds may be giving them some exposure to other geographies. For example, the HDFC, the developed market index, that itself gives exposure to about 23 developed markets. Then you have the Mirae Asset, New York Stock Exchange, the FANG Plus, which had about 20% exposure to China, with about two companies there in the index. So I think the first step for investors is to probably invest in the US outside India. And if they're looking to invest beyond that, there is merit, but I think it depends on individual profile of the investor and where are they exactly investing in a fund in the US.
So in the recent past, we have seen some funds have come up which are focusing on China and Taiwan, but they are down around 30% on a yearly basis. And when we compare it with Dow Jones, which is down around 10%, and we look at India, which is up around 8%. What is the reason that these country-specific funds are down so much?
Okay, so I think the data that you've given is actually interesting, because that's the basic premise of investing outside, that you're looking at diversification. And when we say diversification, it is also because different markets actually perform at different points in time. So, you know, the data that you've shown actually shows that, yeah, in this current phase, it's not the Chinese or the, markets in Taiwan which are actually performing. And there's reasons to it. And I'll give you a little background here. Now, if we look at the markets, just let's look at 2020. We saw Taiwan was strong with about 23% returns. China was about 13-14% returns, and Hang Seng was slightly down. And this was the phase towards the end of 2020 when the clampdown by Chinese authorities on the tech giants actually started. And the first incident was the Ant Group, the fintech arm of Alibaba, which saw its high-profile IPO in Shanghai and Hong Kong, which was suspended by the regulators. So that was the first jolt. And in 2021, we saw many more tech companies in China, which were, which became casualties of the, let's say, the storm, the regulatory storm, which was happening in China. And very prominent names like Didi, which was, it's like the counterpart of, let's say, Uber. Then we have Meituan, which is a very famous food delivery platform. It was charged with antitrust probe and fined with like 500 million. And we had issues against Didi for violation of cybersecurity. So we had a lot of issues overall, Abhinav, in China, because the regulators were really, looking to sort of downsize the power, I think, which these companies had gained. Because if you look at Alibaba and Tencent alone, they were about 800 billion in market cap at their peak. And somewhere any sort of power emergence beyond a point, I think, doesn't go well with the authorities in mainland China. So that was the reason for the not good performance in about 2021, where we saw the Chinese economy just, inching up by about 3-4%. And of course, Hang Seng was down by about 13-14%. But still, Taiwan kept doing well because Taiwan was broadly insulated, and we saw the whole, the shortage of the chips, and I think which kept the markets in Taiwan up. So they were again up in 2021 by about 23-24%. Now let's come to 2022. So I think this is the year which has caused a lot of trouble for all the whole region as such. The first one being now, Abhinav, here that 2022 has broadly started with, the fear of increasing inflation, interest rate hikes, and I think indices geographically across, in fact, the globe are witnessing a sharp correction. And Dow Jones, of course, represents the U.S. economy too. And then we've seen that now, the Russia-Ukraine crisis again caused a bit of disruption. And now is the third event where we're seeing the heightened tension between China and Taiwan with, these military exercises being done by China and Taiwan doing its own part. So I think broadly, despite of the fact that the Chinese authority is now looking to support the tech sector and is saying that, we're going to ease and they're looking at some stimulus to the Chinese markets, I think the current tension is now causing the pain. And in 2022, we've seen Taiwan down by about 17%. Also because Taiwan broadly represents a lot of tech sector. And that is one sector where, the risk of high interest rates sort of weighs much more. And the tech sector accounts for actually about 68-70% of the Taiwan index, MSCI index. So I think the correction is natural, and plus the heightened tension between these, the overall region. So that's the reason why there has been an underperformance. So, it's not just like this year, it's been there. And of course, we still have certain risk as to the real estate sector in China and other issues. So that's broadly the reason for the underperformance.
Right. And you talked about heightened tensions between China and Taiwan. What risk investors face from the situation, and can they expect more pain in these funds?
So I think, Abhinav, now this is a situation which is really, really hard to say that what is really in store. Probably if we were talking last year, we would have totally ruled out any sort of invasion or, any escalation in military format. But I think since we've now seen that Russia and Ukraine are already at war, and we are coexisting with two countries at war, we cannot totally rule out the fact that China may go and do something and look at more, let's say, getting Taiwan under its control. So I think the growing military capabilities and the aggressiveness that it has shown and the deterioration in the relationships can spark a conflict. And with these economies, US economy dominates 25% of the global economy. China itself is 1/5 of the global economy. So if you have these two major superpowers in any sort of conflict, I think, Abhinav, of course, there is more pain in store then, not only for the markets in that region, but then globally. And if we just, sort of go back and see how US has been, there was a time when, it was said that when the US sneezes, the world catches a cold. And I think this traditional aphorism has been in fact changed to that when China sneezes, the world catches a cold. And this we saw somewhere literally as well as, in a metaphor form, of course, it's there and economically that COVID has already proved it. So I think China is a very important economy as far as the overall global economy is concerned, because it is one of the engines of global growth now. It is not the US alone. And if any sort of escalation is there between, I think, these Taiwan and China, and even to some extent, if, U.S. is involved. And of course, if two economies are in any sort of conflict, we will see damage being done. Maybe it's a, temporary thing, but we will, of course, see that happening in the markets.
All right. So given the context of China-Taiwan tensions, inflation, persistent inflation, Fed rate hikes, and even Russia and Ukraine at war, what would be the best approach towards global diversification right now? And given like many of the funds are not accepting new investments?
So global diversification has its own merits. And today there is trouble in this region. There may be some trouble in other region. I think the nature of the problems keep changing. There will always be something or the other which affects the markets, Abhinav. So I think first, the point which I think we need to establish is that yes, global diversification has its merits. Now, which geography do you start with? I think that's the first question which investors need to understand. So I think little lesser experimentation is better here. Go with a developed market. I think they have that sort of a capability to manage their economies even in times of situations which are pretty stressful. And then there's transparency. There is a lesser regulatory risk, which I would say, which we see in this region, the Greater China region. So I feel starting off with US markets is a good idea. But of course, we have limited funds, as you said. So, and a very good opportunity of investing in the US markets has actually, we've sort of missed it because the restrictions were there and the RBI limits were not extended. So I think still the options which are available to us are the broader indices in the US, be it NASDAQ, and we have the other funds, the total market index fund. And we still have the option to invest in the S&P top 50. About 2 lakhs per day per pan can be done. So a SIP is not possible. But I think some exposure to the broader indices in US still makes sense. And the percentage allocation to one's portfolio has to be, decided on the basis of their own risk appetite and what is their goal and objective. But number one is that when you're investing outside country, you have to understand the risks which are involved. And currently, the currency is slightly against us because the rupee has already depreciated. And as an Indian investor, we gain a lot when the rupee depreciates during our investment tenure. But if it's, depreciated decent enough right at the beginning, this and rupee appreciates later, let's say a year from now, then it would play negative for an Indian investor. So I think that needs to be understood. And for moving beyond US, I think the Greater China region is a good spot, but only for investors who understand that there is political risk, there is economic risk, and there is regulatory risk that is involved. But there are great companies even in this region, right from Taiwan to China. And some exposure can be taken, but I would say it should be more of a tactical call for savvy investors rather than for everybody. I don't think that this region is meant for everybody. I think it should be more after understanding your own risk appetite and what is in store.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
That's it for today. If you have any questions, you can write to us at mintmoney@limemint.com. If you want me to cover any specific topic, DM me @AbhinavKaul at Twitter. To stay updated on this podcast, follow HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube and LinkedIn. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.